Would you turn with me this morning to Psalm 78, please? Psalm 78. This is the week we're kicking off our VBS. What a great time it is. VBS was started in 1898. I don't know how many know that. By the wife of a doctor in New York City. The doctor was taking care of a lot of kids during the summer, and his wife noticed that these kids were coming in with injuries and different things like that. They just had too much time on their hands. So her and her husband went, and they rented a saloon, a beer place, to start the first vacation Bible school during the summer as an outreach to inner-city New York kids to give them something to do during the summer, and it's been taken off ever since. Isn't that great? It's a five-day concentrated time in God's Word for these kids. I think it's 8:30 till noon every day. Is that right? 8:30 till noon, and it's a powerful time. So we're going to be looking at this and just the importance of kids. Here at Winter Park Christian Church, we are very strong and intentional about training up the next generation to reach their generation for Christ. And God has blessed us with a lot of children in this church. Psalm 78, some of you visitors may not know this, we're reading through the Bible as a congregation. We did it last year. We're doing it again this year, pretty much in lockstep. We're in the Psalms right now. It's developing a strong daily time in God's Word with people in our church. They are being fed the Word of God. They're learning to love the Word of God. And as Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, my words live in you, you can ask whatever you want and it shall be done for you. It is a powerful, powerful time for our church. And we've been in the Psalms this week, and this last week we've read Psalm 78, which talks about children. So let's begin reading here in verse 1, Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, and that our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of the Lord, but keep his commandments. What a powerful passage of scripture. In fact, the rest of Psalm 78 talks about the fact that parents did not pass on the word of the Lord in the earlier years of Israel to their children, and were rebellious against God, and all of the problems. All of Psalm 78 talks about the problems and the difficulties that families had because they turned away from the Lord. And guess what? History is repeating itself again today in our culture in many ways. God's Word talks a lot about teaching our children. Hold your finger here in Psalm 78. We're going to be right back to it. And turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, would you please? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And very familiar passage to most of us, but it's one that's very pertinent. It's a command of the Lord. As the children of Israel were going in to Canaan land, to take Canaan land. And it says here in Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. I have to stop there. Is there any other time of the day? When you're in your house, when you're outside your house, when you're laying down, when you're standing up. That's all the time. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, God said, my word should permeate your life. Permeate your life, every part of your life. Talking to your children while you're out skiing, while you're out boating, while you're out at sporting events, when you're on the way, when you're in your house, speaking to them about the wonders of God, how awesome our God is and what he does and how he works. God wanted his word and wants his word to be talked about continually in our homes. But first of all, as the Lord said in Deuteronomy 6, it has to be on the hearts of the parents. He said, these commandments must first of all be on your heart. We need to be enthusiastic about God. We need to be standing in awe of God. Our children need to see that all the decisions we make in our life are based on God's word or the principles of God's word. They need to see us praying and crying out and calling upon the Lord because we're models and examples to our kids. Those commandments need to be first on the hearts of the parents, because children will do as we do, not as we say, right? You know, we reproduce what we are, not what we say. And so they're watching our lives. And so this is what God's word talks about when it comes to children. Unfortunately, as we read through scriptures and you get to Judges, that generation did not pass on the things of the Lord to their children. They might have been too busy. You know, it takes a lot of time and effort to conquer a country. And they were conquering the Canaanites. They were going into Canaan land. There were a lot of unexpected things. And the parents did not do what God told them to do. And in Judges chapter 2, it says, another generation grew up who knew not the Lord nor the things that he had done in Israel. After Joshua died and all the elders died, the next generation didn't know, because the parents didn't pass it on. And because of that, they became involved in the idolatry of the culture and embraced the religious lifestyle, the irreligious lifestyle of the culture around them. So Psalm 78 says, we will not do that. We will not hide these things from our children, but we will pass them on to the next generation. Is that true today? Amen. That's right. Also in Proverbs chapter 1:8 says, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So it's the responsibility of both the moms and dads to train their children up. Speak to them. And not only your children, but also when your children leave, as I'm finding out, and your grandchildren, you get to talk to them continually about the Lord. And that's been a great joy of my life, to be able to talk to my children who are married and be calling them up and getting into three-way conversations, talking to them how the Word of God applies to marriage and the family. It's an awesome time of life. But that's what God wants. In Ephesians chapter 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, Father's Day today, and God has called us to primarily be the leaders in our homes, leaders in training up our children, leaders by model and example, as well as by the things that we say, to take the lead. And then another interesting account in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 19. And this is when Jesus was going around the land teaching, and he actually was teaching on marriage at this particular time. And some people brought their children to be prayed for by Jesus. And it says, then the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked the people. Let's just stop there. Why would the disciples rebuke the people for bringing the children? Yeah, they're sometimes they just are a distraction. Children are a distraction. We're listening to Jesus. We're trying to learn what he has for us. These children they don't know protocol. Sometimes they cry. They speak when they shouldn't speak. They're doing something. They're getting in the way. They're spilling this and dumping that over. And, you know, we don't need the kids around because we want to learn from Jesus. You think that's an attitude that's more prevalent in America today? Boy. But you know, one of the insights we have into Almighty God is what Jesus said. He tells his disciples, he corrects them and says, no, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. What an insight into the heart of God, knowing children. Because God knows that children are given to us as a heritage. Children, it says in Psalm 127, are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage is a very interesting word. It's an inheritance that is meant to be passed on to the next generation. That's what a heritage is. And the way that God passes on the truth of his word is through our children, teaching their children, teaching their children. That's where God's heart is. That's how he's designed the family. And so he said, let them come, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Then Jesus left. So what an insight into the heart of God. Three questions for today that we just need to look at here as I was praying about today and the wonderful week we have coming up in ministering to children. But number one, who will teach our children the truth if not the church? Who are going to teach children the truth if not the church? life is an education. And many, many teachers, tens of thousands of teachers in America today. But who's going to teach our children the truth? They're getting a lot of input, a lot of instruction, but is it true? In 1995, the National Association of Biology Teachers, these are the science teachers, the head of the science teachers in public and state schools in our nation, they affirmed that naturalism is a fundamental tenet of science education. Naturalism is a fundamental tenet. Now, what does that mean? Those of you who are in our church know this, but naturalism means there is no supernatural. There is no God. There is no invisible. Everything is natural. What you see is what you get. There is no soul in man. Naturalism encompasses all of psychology. Psyche is the Greek word for soul, and ology is the study of it. So psychology is the study of the soul. Does God's word have anything to say about a soul? The truth about our soul? But naturalism says there is no soul. We're just a mass of chemicals. And why those chemicals begin to live in the womb of a mother and why we die, we don't know, but we're just a mass of chemicals, and that's all. That's how we function. And that's what naturalism teaches, which is contrary to God's word. And then they go on to say, the National Association of Biology Teachers, they say the diversity, this is a quote, the diversity of life on earth is the outcome of evolution. An unsupervised, impersonal, unpredictable, and natural process of temporal descent with genetic modification that is affected by natural selection and chance and historical contingencies and changing environments. That's their statement. Unsupervised means there's no supervisor, there's no creator, there's no sovereign, almighty God overseeing the world. God's word contradicts that by saying, in the mercy of the Lord, his son, the sun rises every morning on good and evil, and God sends his rain on the just as well as the unjust. But science teachers today say, no, we're an unsupervised product of evolution. Impersonal means life has no meaning. Who's going to teach our children the truth that we are special, made in the image of God, that God gives us our gifts and talents and personalities and meticulously weaves us in our mother's womb? Who's going to tell them that? They're not going to hear it in the world. They're not going to hear it in schools. Because schools are teaching evolution is very impersonal. Unpredictable means we are a product of blind chance. There's no God directing the affairs of men. And natural process means that we all are just inherent matter. And by the way, back in the 1930s and 40s, when evolution began to be taught in schools across America, creationism was soon pushed out to where today all that is taught is evolution in our schools. And also, the students who were in schools in the 1950s and 1960s are now the leaders of our country. They are products of our educational system. So that is why every national monument in America now promotes evolution. You go to any one of them. You go to Seven Falls. You go to Royal Gorge. You go to Yosemite National Park. You go to the Grand Canyon. It's all 4 billion years of evolution that has created this national monument. But the only one that I didn't find it at was Mount Rushmore, because I don't think those faces just got up there by evolution. They were designed. They were designed. But that's how our nation gets to where it is today, because we're educated that way. Who's going to tell our children the truth if we don't tell them the truth? How God has created everything, and all the world is filled with the glory of God like we displayed today. And when we're riding up on a ski lift talking to my kids about the glory of the Lord and how he's created such a beautiful, beautiful place for us, who's going to tell them if we don't tell them? Many things our children are being taught today. Our children are growing up in a different world than we have grown up in. Who's going to tell them if we don't tell them? And you know, to teach, it takes a lot of time and effort and money and energy to invest in that next generation. We have a lot of adults in our church that do that, but we need a lot more help too in training our children, because these are the messages that they get. And we know that God's word speaks against heterosexual immorality and homosexual immorality. All immorality is sin against God. Amen? Amen. But our children are being taught that it's okay and to be accepted. In fact, the principle there in another a part of that excerpt says that moral values should not only be taught in the home. We should be passing on the moral values of our society too. See? So who's going to teach them if we don't teach them? God is so adamant about passing on to the next generation the truths of God's Word. We need to have a big heads up as parents. Vacation Bible School is a big impact. We've seen lives change. We've seen kids come to Christ over the years. Families been touched. But I have one testimony so that we can be in prayer this week about the many that are going to be coming. This is from 1968. I kind of caught my eye because it's the year I graduated from high school. And it was in Columbus, Ohio. And it says that a church there decided to hold, a Baptist church on the west side of Columbus decided to hold its regular vacation Bible school. Someone from that church invited Shirley, a 9-year-old girl. And that's just how ministry happens. People inviting people. We need to do that too. If you know of friends who have children, tell them about VBS coming up this week. Well, they invited Shirley, a 9-year-old, to attend along with her 3 brothers and sisters. The children had nothing better to do during the week, so decided to attend. The family didn't have time to attend church. They didn't attend church. They spent their weekends getting together with friends, drinking, and playing cards. The parents were invited to the family night service the last night of VBS, and thinking their children would get bored during the week and drop out, they promised to attend only if their children attended every day. Due to God's leadership, loving and caring teachers, and a well-organized VBS, the children enjoyed every day of the experience and attended each session. The parents kept their promise and attended family night. They were proud of the things the children learned and made during VBS, and seemed to have a good time meeting the workers, but they were glad when the evening ended. A few weeks later, one of the VBS teachers contacted little Shirley, 9 years old, and asked her to sing in a choir because she had a pretty good voice. So asked her to sing at church that Sunday, and Shirley wanted to sing. So guess what? The parents came to church to hear their daughter sing. They didn't want to go to church, but they came to hear her sing. Well, as a result of that initial contact that brought that little girl to VBS, Shirley's entire family of 7 were saved. Her dad is now a Southern Baptist preacher, and his mother is a Sunday school teacher. Her grandmother was saved at age 63. Her aunt, uncle, 3 of their children were saved. Her uncle now is a music leader in the church. And Shirley's neighbors, a family of 5, all came to Christ because of that one little girl coming to VBS. Powerful, powerful time. And so I pray that we will all be in prayer this coming week for that. And again, why are we so intentional here in Winter Park Christian Church about children? We have so many children's ministries going on. We have children's church every Sunday. That's where the kids are right now. We have adults that are giving their time while we're in here. Many of the adults come to the early service, and then they serve in the second service, serving our children. My 6 children have grown up in this church, and praise God for many of you who had an impact into their lives, you know, during that time. But we have children's church. We have an Awana program we run during September through May. And in that Awana program, our children learn many Bible scriptures from memory. They will come out of that Awana program knowing much more scripture by memory than most adults do. That's a great program. We have children's programs, Christmas programs, not only to get the children dressed up, but to help them experience God in different ways. Every part is important. And how God created drama. Drama is a powerful medium to proclaim the gospel. We have Reformation Day when we celebrate around Halloween. Instead of celebrating Halloween, we celebrate the fact that God's Word was elevated as the final authority in the church at that time. Have a great day with all of our children. Of course, Vacation Bible School, we have youth ministries, young adult ministries. Why? Because we take seriously God's command to diligently teach your children. That's what he told us to do. That is discipleship. And not only that, but many new adults that come to Christ, new believers we train. But that's why we are so big on youth and children's ministry here. Again, Psalm 78 says that we train them, that they would teach their generation. My daughter, Christy, when she was 4 years old, gave her life to the Lord at 4 years old. I didn't know that children could give their life at 4 years old at that time, but she did. She knew what it meant to be a Christian. But when she was young, 4 or 5 years old, she invited a friend to church one day. And on the way home, Christy's talking to her friend in the back seat. And her friend said, "What does it mean? What's it like being a Christian?" And Christy said, "Oh, Amy, it's like God takes a scrub brush and soap and scrubs you clean on the inside." What a picture of what Christ does when he comes into a life. He scrubs you clean on the inside. He forgives all your sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Little children, to share with their generation so that that generation would share with children yet unborn so that they'd set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord. And it goes on, but keeps his commandments. And then in verse 8 of Psalm 78, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. See, they go on. The reason why the writer of Psalm 78, Asaph, a priest, said, we will not do what generations past have done. We will tell the children. We will not keep from them the wondrous works of God. We're going to see them pass on the truth of God's word and the good news of who he is to their generations, not being like their fathers who were stubborn and rebellious. And what a powerful passage of scripture that is. That's where we are today. We also have a little PowerPoint presentation here. For those of you who are new to Winter Park Christian Church, or many who are new, you may not know all that we have going on. These are some of the things that went on this last year in children's ministry, and then Nancy Sperry is going to come up and share with us. Okay? Great. Let's watch this just for a couple seconds, a couple minutes.
This last week, as we were reading through the Bible, in Psalm 71, it's in 17 and 18, it says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, which I now have, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. And that is what we are called to do. You know, God takes those that are believers and he uses them, as unworthy as all of us are, to grow his kingdom. And it is just a beautiful thing the way God works through us. It is nothing that we do on our own. It is only through the Lord. And several years ago, for 2 years, the Bible study that we did in my home, we studied Isaiah. And it was such a wonderful book. You know, it is just packed with so many things. But two scriptures really stuck out to me during that time, and it was not anything that we focused on. It was just something where the Lord really spoke to me, and it is Isaiah 61 and 2. And it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory is seen on you. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. And actually, this is prophecy, but I do believe that it is for those of us that have Jesus Christ in us as our Lord and Savior, because he is the light. He is the bridge that takes us to the glory of God, and it is so wonderful. And so it says here very clearly, arise, shine. We are called to be his beacons and to do his work. Arise, shine, let your light shine. It is the light of Jesus Christ within us that shines to other people. And you know, the more obedient that we are, the more we study his word, the more we spend time in prayer, and one of the greatest things, the more we spend time in praising the Lord, he is going to use us as his light to bring forth his kingdom, and it's wonderful. And, you know, I think most of you would probably agree that our children are being raised in a different time than we were, and it is a dark, dark time of what they are being exposed to and all. And, you know, the scripture says, you see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. And I think of this as just this sludge that it's just so heavy, you're just drowning in it and can't even think about it and get out of it. I mean, there's just no way out. And several years ago, this is, a lot of you won't remember this, but there was a commercial on television for Folgers Coffee, and it was back in the day of Pert Coffee. And so you would get up in the morning and put the coffee pot on the stove with the water, and then in the commercial you would see where it started perking, and it would go perk, 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 perk. Then the coffee was ready, and you pour coffee in your cup, and you drink it, and that's where you start your morning. Well, that is what I see in this scripture, a lot of this. The thick darkness is over the people, and it is just thick. But what happens is God takes the light that was in us, and what he does, it pops up out of the darkness. And you have a light here, and a light here. And a light here, 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 because light prevails over darkness. Mm-hmm. And that is what it is. And then it says, and the glory of the Lord can be seen upon you. You know, this is what we are really praying for these children this week, that there will be a lot of the glory rising within this place. And we pray that there will be many, many brought to Christ. There will be a lot of visitors that have never been exposed to the Word of God. And this will be their first time. And we just pray and hope that their hearts and minds will be open to receive the truth that's in the Word. And, you know, we look around here and the way it's decorated, and it's so awesome. And it is so much fun to come in here to see this and to sing the wonderful songs and all that. But that is only icing on the cake. What is real about this week is what is going to be taught to these children. And it is the depth and the truth of the Word of God. They will learn that He is their Creator. They will learn that they have sin and that separates them from God, and there is nothing they can do to get away from that sin. They will learn how Christ came and he shed his blood for them. He died, he rose again, and it is through them and the redeeming love of Jesus that they can be saved. And this is something that they will be able to take home with them to the dinner table. They're going to be able to take it out on to the playgrounds. They're going to be able to take it with them forever. And we pray there will be many that will be taking this with them through all eternity. It's just a great, great, great time. And I will tell you, I know that sometimes people don't really think a lot about children knowing Jesus. You know, they think maybe they're going to church and they're doing little cute arts and crafts and playing games and all of these things. But I was raised in a home where there was extreme darkness and extreme light. And my mother was just one of the most gracious people I have ever known through the love of Christ. And she is the one that set the tone in our home. And it was a tone of loving the Lord. And it was just beautiful. And I became a Christian when I was 5. And I knew Jesus. And I mean, I knew Jesus. I knew the very presence of him. And I loved going to Sunday school. I loved going to church. I loved going to Booster Band. I loved going to revivals. I loved going to VBS. I loved going to summer camp. I loved all of it. And I didn't know at that time that it was the Lord that was stirring within me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I did not know that it was the Lord that was protecting me and growing me. I didn't know and realize that. All I know is I loved those places and I knew Jesus. And that was all I needed to know at the time. I didn't know at the time when things were really rough in our home, and I would go to the piano and sit down and play these wonderful hymns that I loved. And they were really fast, upbeat hymns, because I'm kind of a fast, upbeat person, and that's what I liked. I did not know at that time that that was my point of refuge, and God was calling me to that piano. All I knew is it made me feel good. See, I didn't know that it was the joy of the Lord and that he was the one giving me the peace that passeth all understanding. I didn't know that. I knew Jesus. And that's all I needed to know. And then, you know, God took all the pieces of the puzzle as I grew up and showed me just where he was in all of that. And it's great. It is wonderful. And so I have a real heart for these children. And I know that Jesus can take hold of them at a young, young time. And that is what we're hoping and praying for this week, that it will be a big, big time. So I encourage all of you to come. I encourage you to bring your neighbors, bring friends, whomever. We don't care. And you just show up and arise, shine, and do a lot of praying for us this week because we need it. Thank you.
Praise God.
Oh, another thing. I forgot to read this first service. I read it last night, but this is awesome. Sandy Jones, who is the director, her sister is the one that wrote the curriculum that we use. And her father is a retired minister, and he's 94 years old now and is going through a lot of things that a 94-year-old man will be going through. But spiritually, he is still very clear on all things. And she was telling me about this email that he sent out to all of their family a couple of weeks ago. And I want to read part of it to you. It says, I do not set dates for our Lord's return, but I do know our Lord is coming again. Our primary responsibility as believers is to get the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And we now live in the day of TV, the internet, worldwide means of communication, and the gospel is going forth as never before in all history. So, in our Lord's evaluation, when we have fulfilled our commission, he will be coming again. I pray daily for our Lord to come and believe that day is not far off. But sooner or later, let us all be ready, bringing up our little ones to know and love our Lord, to be reading and studying his word, serving him.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Nancy. 94-year-old, thank God, pastor. Let's all stand together, okay, today. And actually, Carrie's going to lead us in one last closing song after we pray here. We need to pray. You know, there's a spiritual warfare going on. The last thing Satan wants is for kids to come and hear the Word of God. So please be in prayer this week, because the darkness cannot overcome the light. The light shines in the darkness. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for today. And we thank you for today being Father's Day too. What a timely service this is, because Lord, you've made us dads in order to train up our children in the ways of God. So we want to thank you for that. We pray your blessing on every home, every marriage, every family, especially on our fathers and grandfathers here today. And Lord Jesus, as we leave this place today, we want to leave a people of praise. And we want to leave with a higher degree of commitment to invest in the lives of others. Because you've said, freely you've received, freely give. Lord, you have made us to serve. You have wired us to serve. You've given us gifts, spiritual gifts. And you've invested into our lives so that we can invest in others. Oh God, may we catch that vision for discipleship, because that's why we're here another day, is to make disciples of all nations. So we thank you for these things today, for the power of your presence here, oh God. We pray your blessing on this week, your blessing on every teacher, on every leader. Oh God, we pray that you'd move on the hearts of many families to remember that there's a Vacation Bible School, to bring their children in, that many lives might be touched. And it's all for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise, because you are worthy, oh God. And we thank you for these things today now, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.